The title of our study today is, Do You Need a Miracle? Daniel repeated that to me the other day. He says, what's the title of your sermon? I says, do you need a miracle? He says, do you need a miracle? I said, you better believe it. We all need a miracle. We all need a divine touch from our Heavenly Father. Our study today is from the book of Joshua. Joshua is a continuation of the history of the children of Israel. If we look back in the previous books of the Bible, we can see Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, which was quite a process in itself. And we can see that because of Moses' disobedience, he was not able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The connection that the book of Joshua has with the preceding books is seen in the charge that God gives to Joshua. In chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 2, God tells Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise. Go over to the Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Now, Joshua was a divinely commissioned preacher. Not only was he licensed, he was ordained. He had all of the qualifications because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He had what it took to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Why? Because he was assured of the divine presence of God in carrying out the mission that God had given him. In chapter 1, verse 5, God tells Joshua, there shall not one man be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just like I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. What a comfort.
Amen.
What a blessed thought. God's telling Joshua, it doesn't make any difference what may happen. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I won't let you down. Just like I stood by Moses, I'm going to stand by you. In chapters 1 and 2 of Joshua, we read the account of God getting the Israelites ready to cross the Jordan River. He wasn't just getting them ready, giving them pep talks. He was getting these people ready for a major miracle in their life. Several years ago, there was a man that went out to go to work one morning and he found that the battery in his little old Volkswagen Beetle was just as dead as a doornail. And he was running late for work. So he runs back in the house and he tells his wife, come help me get the car started. He told her to get into their second car, which was this prehistoric gas guzzler, and use it to push his car off and get it started. He told her that she would need to push him up to about 35 miles an hour in order for the car to crank. She said, fine, so she hops in her car and drives off. And he sits there in his dead Volkswagen wondering, this woman has lost her mind. He should have been more direct with his instructions. And suddenly he looks up in the rearview mirror comes his wife just barreling down the road at about 45 miles an hour toward the back end of his Volkswagen. I think it would have been time to have bailed out. Now, God was not like this man. And Joshua was obviously not like this woman. God gave Joshua specific instructions on what to do and what to say. There was no mistaking what was to be done. And Joshua carried out the instructions to the letter. And he made no mistakes in doing so. God gave Joshua, in our study of the scripture today, five important instructions concerning what they must do in crossing the Jordan River. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, so that you may be successful in everything that you do." So God's saying here, if you want to be successful, if you want to have this miracle in your life, obey my law. Do what I tell you to do. So the first thing that God tells Joshua is to obey the law. Be strong. Our success today depends upon our obedience to the will of God. And after Joshua had went and instructed all the people, he says, "Prepare yourself now for a 3-day journey. We're fixed to take a trip." Now, if you'll skip with me over to the 3rd chapter of Joshua, you will find Joshua taking these people on this 3-day trip. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "Early in the morning, Joshua arose and set out for Shittim with all of the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan, and they camped there before crossing over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord being carried by the Levitical priest, then you set out from your place and follow it.'" The second principle that God is wanting to make known to Joshua was he instructed the people to purify themselves. In verse 5, Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Joshua in this verse was referring to a spiritual cleansing, which at that particular point in time was represented by all of this ceremonial stuff and all of the rituals that they had to go through with, and the washing and the offering of sacrifices. So Joshua was telling them, "Hey y'all, we got to do all of this stuff to prepare ourselves for the miracle that God has for us." All of these things that the children of Israel had to do to prepare themselves, to purify themselves, we can do today. Through repentance, through confession. Purification is just as important today in order for us to receive our miracle as it was in Joshua's day. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent. And we need to step out in faith to follow the Lord, seeking to do God's will. In verse 6, Joshua instructs the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and go in front of the people. So we see God going out ahead of the people. Have you ever thought about it? When God tells us to do something, He's not telling us to go out on a limb by ourselves. He says, I'm going to prepare the way for you, Karen. I'm going to prepare the way for you, Betsy. All you got to do is follow me. Just go where you see me leading you to go. The third principle or instruction that God gave Joshua, which I have a problem with, He says, wait. Wait for God before stepping out. I'm like a little kid. I want candy and I want it now. I don't want to have to wait. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless Bethel. Okay, God, do it right now. I'm waiting. Not very patiently, but I'm waiting. God says, wait sometimes. And sometimes God just flat tells us, no, not right now. You got to wait a little longer. So let's look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, so that you may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Now these people were anxious to get on with their lives. They had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. We get tired of waiting for 40 minutes. Imagine how they felt, wandering around for 40 years, waiting to get into this promised land, this land that flows with milk and honey, and they're told to wait. I would not have been a happy camper. And I'm quite sure that they were those in that crowd that were not exactly happy campers. They wanted to get the show on the road. They wanted to do what they had to do. They wanted to get through with it. They wanted to get on with their lives. Sound familiar? But they run up against a problem. They were standing here at the banks of the Jordan River during harvest time. And just like our lives today, there was an obstacle. That thing was flooded. During harvest time, the Jordan River floods. What's normally 100 feet wide was a mile wide. It was boggy. It was nasty. It was totally impassable. But here they stood right there at the edge of the Jordan. Had they made this trip just a few weeks before, they could have walked across just like it was a little babbling brook or something. Had they decided to wait a little longer, it would still be the same situation. There wouldn't be any problem. But they would not have seen the glory of God. They would not have experienced this miracle that they needed in their life. They would have said, look what we did. But had they been able to cross, they would have wound up facing sure destruction. I've heard a lot of times people make the remark that, well, I'm not going to sit here and let nothing happen. God helps those that help themselves. And they proceed on without instructions, without waiting for God to speak to their heart. And they meet up with disaster. But be encouraged today. If you undertake great things for God, stand still and expect great things from God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you expect great things, you will receive great things. God will reward you. He will give you the miracle that you need in your life. The fourth thing is that we can trust God to lead us. We've all had times in our lives when we were faced with mountains. They were mountains to us. To another person, it may have been just a molehill. It may have been so insignificant. But to us, it was a mighty swollen Jordan River that was threatening to drown us. Saying, stand still. He's saying, wait on the Ark of the Covenant. Wait on the presence of the Lord. That's what the Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of, was the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Ark of the Covenant was no more than a box, but it contained the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, it contained Aaron's rod. It was a holy of holies. Everything sacred was right there. But as born again children of God today, we have everything that is sacred right here in our heart. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the miracles that we need. Nothing happened until the priest stepped into the water. Thought about that sermon from right after I came here about Jesus telling Peter to get out of the boat. And here we see Joshua telling the priest to step into the water. Yes, God could have rolled that water back without the priest even putting a toe in the water, without even getting wet. But God wanted the people to know that sometimes you go get your feet wet. Sometimes you got to step out and step into the water and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No, but I am there with you. Amen. God is good. The Israelites knew that this Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God and that God was near. God is near us today, regardless of whatever you may be facing in your life. God is with you. We've all had times that we prayed and it felt like we were praying to the wall. Our prayers were getting no higher than the ceiling. We were expecting a miracle. We thought we were, but nothing happened. It seemed like God was a million miles away and you could care less what happened to Karen Alford. You couldn't feel him. You definitely couldn't see him. But from our scripture today, we find that he was there. The times that I've had that I couldn't feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there was something deep down in my soul that I knew that regardless to what happened, that God was there. I couldn't see him, I couldn't feel him, couldn't touch him, but I had the assurance in my soul that all was well. To have success, to have the miracle that the children of Israel needed, they had to do these four things. They had to be strong. They had to be courageous. They had to obey God's laws. Just like the children of Israel, the second thing, we need to purify ourselves by confessing our sins and repenting and abandoning all of the selfishness. And we need to have pure motives for what we do. Then in this purified state, we need to wait on the Lord. Wait for Him to tell us when to step out into faith. We need to trust in Him to lead us, to go ahead of us, and to prepare the way, to remove the obstacles that we face, to remove the Jordan rivers that we have in our lives. And And as we do all of these things, we need to be very watchful and spiritually prayed up and spiritually aware of God's presence so that we can recognize it when it's God's time, so that we will be there on time. When it's God's time and He tells us to step into the water and see the miracle that you need in your life, then we can move when we see God move. I'm reminded of a song that we sang as a child. Got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. If you need that touch today, if you need that miracle in your life, whether it be a physical miracle, a spiritual miracle, financial, whatever it is, God is here today to meet our needs. Let's have that time of rededication today as we prepare our hearts to take of communion.